How big are new mortgages now? Biggest. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. We'll get a read on new home construction later this morning when April data on building permits and new housing starts are released. Builders have been trying to make up for time lost during the pandemic, but the supply of homes is still very tight, and the cost to build a new home is rising. According to the Mortgage Bankers Association, last month, the average loan size for a new home reached its highest level in the survey's history at more than $377,000. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra looks at what goes into the cost of a new home these days.
If you want to build a house, you have to pay for land and labor and supplies.
From lumber to concrete, insulation, resin, paints, bricks, really you name it.
Allie Wolf is chief economist at the housing data firm Zonda. A lot of these supplies are getting more expensive, in part because during the pandemic,
housing demand far exceeded what anyone expected. And now the builders are scrambling and the suppliers are scrambling.
And the rising costs don't end there. Robert Dietz at the National Association of Home Builders says the cost of things like permits and water and sewer fees add up.
And in fact, we estimate that about a quarter of a newly built single family home's final purchase price is made up in these regulatory burdens.
The NAHB estimates that all those fees now average almost $94,000 per house. I'm Mariel Segarra for Marketplace.
Checking markets, Dow and S&P futures are both up 0.3% now. The NASDAQ future is up 0.7%. Post-Brexit, the busiest stock market in Europe is Amsterdam, where the key index there is up 0.7% now. The 10-year Treasury yield is down at 1.65%. The following is not from an environmental advocacy group, but from the International Energy Agency. If the world is going to deal head-on with climate change by making the world produce no more carbon dioxide than it saves by the year 2050, mid-century, then investment in all new fossil fuel production needs to cease. Lessons from the world's response to global pandemic. The latest report from a United Nations panel finds the world still doesn't have a robust system to deal with disease outbreaks. Larry Brilliant is a physician and CEO of PAN Defense, Pandemic Response Advisory, an epidemiologist who was part of the team that decades ago eradicated smallpox. We check in with him from time to time. Larry, thank you for joining us.
Hello, David. It's good to talk to you again.
You know, with the global challenges at this scale, I mean, in looking at India, what has to happen now? I mean, we've done incredible innovation on vaccine, but you want something much larger to be done.
Yes, I'd like a dose of humility and a dose of courage. We need to understand what we face. We cannot eradicate this disease, David, because it exists in a dozen animal species. We will not get to global herd immunity. We have to figure out vaccine-saving strategies that will allow us to use the vaccine that we can make and distribute it in as speedy and effective way as we can. And that means we need to look to the lessons of ring vaccination, just-in-time vaccinating, focused vaccination. It's different than outbreak control. And to do those things, you need a global campaign, a global program. Can you tell me where the global campaign office is for COVID and what agency is running it and who the leader of it is?
Well, I know. I'll be naive. I'll say, doesn't the World Health Organization do that for a living?
Well, the World Health Organization has done that extraordinarily successfully in the past in smallpox and in polio. But right now, there are so many different actors, and particularly we are in an era different than we were in smallpox eradication. The report that came out from the independent panel proposed a system where there's a task force for global health threats that's created by the General Assembly of the United Nations, and that oversees what a new, more empowered WHO would do. We're going to be having that conversation for quite a while, but we need a new structure. We need to share best practices and observe and learn from our failures. And we need to manufacture an awful lot of vaccine and create the way to deliver it that uses the least vaccine by focusing on the people most likely to get the next case of the disease, as we've learned from Ebola 2 years ago in the Congo, and certainly as we learned from smallpox eradication.
So start with, you think, the United Nations structure to come up with a new global organization for rapid response and for vaccine resource allocation.
No, I actually think we have a wonderful organelle inside of WHO called GORN, the Global Outbreak Response Network. It's a terrific organization. It's not well-funded. WHO's structure is complex. This new report by an independent commission headed up by two former heads of state, Helen Clark, former prime minister of New Zealand, and Ellen Sirleaf, former president of Liberia. It's a serious report. It's a really good beginning. We had a great global campaign against smallpox. We've got a wonderful campaign against polio. We're down to two countries. Let's learn from that and create a global unified campaign against COVID.
Larry Brilliant is CEO of Pan Defense, the Pandemic Response Advisory. He's an epidemiologist. Dr. Brilliant, thank you.
David, nice to talk to you again. Thank you for having me.
All of our fast-track coverage of the massive logistical challenge of vaccinating the world is accumulating at marketplace.org, a story we've been following really throughout the pandemic. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.